Good morning and welcome to another fabulous day at Empowering Your Radio and Empower Journey. This is your host, Robin Hardy, and I'm glad to have you out for another beautiful morning here. You know, in California, we're going to be in the 80s today, so it was a great morning to get out early and pull some weeds and weed the negative out of my life through my garden. So that was a fantastic experience. But today we are launching into another exciting episode in our series, The False Perfect. For those that missed the show last week, please go back to the archives and listen to it. This is a powerful message that we're trying to get out over the next 6 weeks in changing lives. And those of us, those that have been following us from the beginning a couple years ago, it's all about empowering people, getting them out of the stuck position and moving them forward. And the amazing part is one of the biggest areas we found recently, aside from our economy, that people are stuck in is their own self-image. And this whole series, for those that don't know the story with us, came about because I sat there one day on the TV watching, and every other commercial was about how imperfect you are, send us money, we'll help you fix yourself. And I thought, enough of this garbage. You know, why can't you celebrate who somebody is? Picked up a magazine, a common, well-known woman's magazine, and started going through the pages, and every other ad was saying the same thing. And I was a little frustrated, so we put that down, and I picked up I picked up the Bible, chose that over everything else, and found a little bit of hope and peace for myself. And I get in the car and drive, and every other billboard is about cutting yourself open, having somebody suck the fat out through a vacuum, you name it. But it's nothing celebrating who you are today, and that's why we move through this series, is understanding that you guys need to celebrate who you are, and especially today. We have got to find something positive in our lives, and you've got to find something positive in you. So what's amazing, we've got some great guests today that are going to share stories. They're going to give you encouragement. One of them has a great little tool that I'm holding in my hands here that I've been through the whole thing. I'm thinking, this is really cool. You could put it on your keychain. But let me introduce our guest here. Our first guest, excuse me, I'm losing my voice today, is Jane Strauss, and she is the author of Enough is Enough, Stop Enduring and Start Living Your Extraordinary Life. And then the bottom tag on it is Let Your Inner Truth Inspire You to Thrive. An amazing, amazing book with an amazing story. And our second guest today is Rebecca Cooper. And she has a book called Beckoning When Happiness Calls. Excuse me, Beckoning When Happiness Calls. And she is the creator of Flip Your Thinking, Flashcards for the Soul. And these flashcards is what we're going to have her share about it as well. These flashcards are really cool because they're small. And on one side is the negative garbage that typically we will say every day. And on the back side of it is the opposite, where we're going to be positive on what our thinking is. So, ladies, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Robin. So this is exciting. I'm glad I have both of you here. And what I want to do, and actually also for our listeners, our third guest was Alyssa Cobb, and she is the author of The Forgotten Body, A Way of Knowing and Understanding Self. She is also a yogi. I think they're called yogis. But she is a master in what she does, and unfortunately she got stuck in Toronto, so she will not be able to join us on the show. We're going to try to bring her in on we're going to go through a different series in May that I'll announce towards the end of this one. But we want to mention her book because it's going to be a great one to help you move through this as well. So with that, Jane, share us a little bit of your story and what motivated you to write. And I love the title, Enough is Enough.
Well, first of all, I think that the reason I love that title also is because you can hear it in two ways depending on where your consciousness is. You know, when we're frustrated and when we feel like we're at the end of our rope, when we're reliving Groundhog Day every day, we finally say to ourselves, enough is enough. And that's our impetus for looking at how we want to heal or change. But the other way you can hear it is enough, and that we all are enough, and that we don't need to, as you were talking about, Robin, to keep seeking our worthiness from outside ourselves, which is really the issue that we all need to heal and that will empower all of us. And the story that comes along with writing this book is that this book was in me for a long time as a life coach and workshop leader for 27 years. I was doing this work with people, and they'd always say, well, write this all in a book. This is so amazing. And I realized that I was holding back. And how it really came kind of right between my eyes was that I was diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2003. And I didn't know if I would live or die, if I would survive the surgery. And I made a pact with myself that if I did, that I would let the fear go. I would just say boo back to the fear of not being worthy, the fear of not writing well enough, all of that. And I would tackle the book and did so. And it was welcomed with open arms, luckily. But even if it hadn't been, it would have been a win for me because I was doing it from the right place, finally. So that's a little bit of my story.
And that's cool. I actually like your introduction, your title on it, Getting Past Groundhog Day.
Yes.
For anybody that hasn't seen the movie, it's, I mean, what an appropriate introduction title for Enough is Enough.
Aha, uh-huh. Yes.
I just love that. And then, Rebecca, share a little bit about your story. You and I chatted previously, and your book parallels pretty much where I've been, and that's why it was such a great fit. But share a little bit about your story, about the book, and then these amazing flip cards.
Well, thank you. I get that a lot. It's like, that sounds like my life, which is basically doing everything on the clipboard. You know, you did what your parents and what your teachers expected you to do. And I was married. I was a mom. I was a stepmom. I climbed the corporate ladder, got my MBA from a top school. And then life, I say, God took the Etch-a-Sketch, turned it upside down, and said, I know you worked really hard on that picture, honey, but you get to start over. And then shook the Etch-a-Sketch really hard. And I was like, I was devastated. So in a capsule, my husband left, got a girlfriend pregnant. My son had left for college, empty nest. My father died on my birthday. And then I blew a disc in my back, I think lack of support, and I was in the hospital. And while I was in surgery, I lost my life savings. I came out of surgery. My son said, Mom, you got a phone call on your cell phone. It was Piper Jaffray, stock crash. And I looked at him and I said, our money's gone. And the machines went off and the nurse ran in. I think my blood pressure spiked and grabbed the phone out of my hand. And the next morning, I was lying in the hospital here in Seattle, and I was watching the sunrise over the Cascade Mountains. It was 6:30 in the morning. And I thought, okay, you know, I thought by this time in my life I'd be retiring, and I have to start over, but I'll do it. It'll be okay. And the nurse runs in and says, turn on the TV. And I wanted to yell at her, and she turned it on, and we watched the second plane hit the World Trade Tower. It was 9:30 in New York. It was September 11th. So the world goes whoosh, my life had gone whoosh, and everything that defined me was taken away. And as Jane knows, and you know, Robin, we all get wake-up calls in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so I went on a spiritual path, and I went to channelers and therapists and everyone else looking for answers out there. But all the paths led back to me, and I thought, I must be thinking something wrong. I must be doing something wrong. And being an intellectual and being proud of myself for figuring things out, I spent a lot of years trying to figure out what's going on. What am I supposed to be doing? Why did this happen? So I had the idea for the cards several years ago and put them in the back of my mind and moved from Seattle down to Boulder and spent my last $5,000 just trying to do a geographical adjustment, thinking, okay, maybe it's where I'm living. And I couldn't get a job. You're overqualified. You're too smart. Why would you want this job? And I'd feel the shame come up and the panic of, I need a job. I need a paycheck. So anyway, it's all in the book, but I started hearing a voice. I was crying, saying, God, I don't know what else to do. And a voice said, do the cards. And I was led over the next few weeks, every time I heard this voice, this intuitive voice, I raised over six figures because I said, I don't have any money, I need a paycheck, and the voice kept saying, you'll be fine. And I chose to believe it. And so I really accessed my intuition when I finally quit trying to figure things out. And then I was led to build this company, and within 8 weeks we did a trade show, and then we were in five countries, and we're just starting to get out there, but it was not the affirmations. It wasn't writing enough or saying enough good thoughts. It was releasing what was blocking me. It was getting rid of the cruddy thinking, all the stories we tell ourselves. That's the cards in a nutshell. That they, one side is a release statement. So it's an affirmation. I release unworthiness. I don't try to impress. I am not somber. Flips to I am playful. So now we have seven decks. Confidence is our bestseller, which is appropriate for this topic today, as is More Love, because all that good feeling comes from inside of us. We keep thinking if we look prettier, if we look like so-and-so, the world will love us. And part of my journey was, no, honey, you go inside. The love's within you, and then you radiate it out. And then as you radiate that love and confidence, then the world beats a path to your door. The money comes, the love comes, all that stuff comes. It's not out there. It's in here.
Yeah, and that's really, I really have to say the cards and what I did when I received the samples that you sent over here, I read through each one and looked at the back, and I love the fact you've got one in here that the positive is, actually it's, what is it, the negative is I don't try to impress, I know I am enough.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely a beautiful statement to say, because it's, even through the coaching that I do with my clients, I'm always telling them that seems to be, and that's why the book for you, Jane, Enough is Enough, I had to laugh when I saw the title, because everybody I coach, we have to start with the affirmation saying, I am enough, I am pretty enough,
right.
I am smart enough, I have enough, because our minds are so, I'm going to say brainwashed to say, you're not enough, you can't succeed. And, you know, the thing for to follow our theme for today is that you're not pretty enough. You know, one of the examples is going through an interview, actually, with a person I knew. And because I have a marketing background, she was looking for someone to help market her newfound business and came in to market it and led me along, for about 30 days playing this tag game. And she finally says to me, well, I know you're the best that I could probably connect with, but, you know, you're just not a good image for my business. And I said, oh? She says, well, I sell health products, and you're like that. And I thought, you're rude. You don't even think about the words that come out of your mouth. And I thought, okay, well, you know, the truth is that, yes, it may be, if I'm marketing her and I'm not using her products and I'm not the size that she foresees, then I don't fit. But the thing is about the honesty forward. I need somebody in the health industry, but why did you solicit me in the first place? But I think a lot of people today, you know, we even see it in some of these sitcoms out there, ladies, that, you know, it's that whole making fun of and judging somebody because they're not. What is the one sitcom out there? Ugly Betty?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, what possessed somebody to do something like that? You know, to put somebody forward, because the whole thing is we're judging the external when all of us here know that that external gets old, it dies. It really doesn't impact people, but it's our heart and what we do. And, you know, one other story, and then I'm going to pick your guys' brain a little bit on this. When I was in, I think it's high school, I went to the Virginia Slims tennis tournament. I don't even know if they still do it anymore. And one of the supermodels of when I was growing up, she's about 10 years older than me, was actually at the event, and I got to meet her. And when I met her, I thought, oh, my gosh, you're ugly. Why? Because she wasn't airbrushed in front of me. She didn't have all the makeup on. Somebody didn't do her hair. And that's what our youth and what women today are putting as a catalyst to say, I need to become that.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you address somebody, because both of you ladies are working just in the positive and finding that inner person and bringing it out, how would you address someone that has been totally sold out to think they have to look like today's supermodels?
Well, in my work, I don't find it to be very much different from anybody who feels that they're a broken cookie somehow. And, you know, some of the brokenness just happens to show on the outside, but there's a lot of that feeling of being a broken cookie on the inside. Some people can just mask or hide their feelings of worthlessness or fear or limited beliefs about who they are and what they deserve better than other people or in different ways. So I actually don't see weight as any different, except that it shows on the outside. So people have, because it shows on the outside, the people who are least secure about themselves for all their feelings of brokenness are usually the first to judge that, because we judge in others what we're really judging in ourselves. There's one finger pointing out and three fingers pointing back at ourselves. And if we start to realize that if we're the ones who are judging someone else for their body type or their weight or whatever that is, to stop and reflect for a moment about what we're judging ourselves for. Where do we feel not enough? Where do we feel worthless? Where do we feel shame? Where do we feel embarrassment? Where are we hiding? Where do we feel an addiction? Whatever that is. And to come back and use that as a way to work on ourselves.
I agree with that. Jane, the hiding was a big word. I'm in the second half of my life, and I genetically am pretty lucky because I didn't age a lot quickly. People say, you don't look your age, and so the ego kind of likes that. But then I started to get some wisps of gray hair, and I really wrestled with it, that whole aging thing, that Botox surgery, hair dye, pick it. And I heard Byron Katie say something about, what are you hiding? And I thought, well, nothing except that I color my hair once in a while. And I thought, why? And I thought, well, I would love to see some really beautiful women that are radiant in their wisdom and as their hair turns color. And then I finally thought, well, why don't I be one of those people? You know, my hair is still largely brown, but, you know, it's getting gray at the temples now, so can I live with that? And it took a while for me looking in the mirror going, this is okay. And you know mm-hmm. what? It's inevitable. So mm-hmm. to wrestle with it, to resist life and not focus on the other gifts that I have in this part of my life, which is a buttload of experience and wisdom, then I could still try to do the best I could to look 30, or I could just relax. And as I relax, my face is smiley and my skin looks good and I've got wisdom and humor and compassion, all of which comes with age. You get compassion when you understand you've walked that path and you see someone else on it.
Right.
So when we're preoccupied with the physical body that we had when we were younger, that, to use Robin's word, that is where we get stuck. We get stuck in the past instead of really embracing what does this part of my life have and how can I radiate that outward.
I just wanted to just slip in one thing here, and that is that I think it's really important that this isn't about saying women can't color their hair or put on lipstick or you know, go to the gym or whatever that is, because it really is about the place we're coming from when we do any of those things. You know, basically, we're either coming from love with any action in our life, or we're coming from fear. And it's really helpful to learn how to discern that for ourselves. And when we're coming from love, we can come from love and color our hair or even get plastic surgery for people. I don't think there's any difference, and these are fine lines to start drawing. to me. It isn't about what we do, it's about the place we're coming from. But most of us, when we make choices, don't even think about that discernment. We do it because we feel compelled to do it. We do it because we feel not enough. We do it because we feel afraid that we won't be attractive or won't be liked or won't be loved or won't be employed or won't keep up or whatever that is. And so I think it's really important to, you know, because if we want to buy a nice dress, you know, I think it's really good not to start beating ourselves up for that, saying, well, if I were really comfortable with myself, I could wear a potato sack, you know, and be happy. Well, at one level, that's true. But one can come from love and get a nice dress. Or one can come from fear.
Yeah, it's an excellent distinction, and thanks for clarifying that, because I certainly didn't mean it as a judgment on anyone. I think most of us want the outside to match what we feel on the inside.
Right.
If the inside is a happy 19-year-old, even if you're not 19, then that's okay. But the motivation is what you want to examine. Does this create more ease and joy in your life, or does it create more stress when you look in the mirror because you're fighting an uphill battle?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an excellent point. Is this joyful, like a pretty new dress, or is this stressful because you're afraid you won't get love or get the job?
Right. I can give a personal – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's a great distinction.
Okay. I can give a very personal example in that my breasts were very uneven all my life, and it meant having specially made bras, and I couldn't wear bathing suits. And finally, when I was in my 40s and happily married, by the way, I decided to get a breast reduction to straighten them out. And everybody said, well, why do you need that? You're happily married. Your husband's not complaining about them, and you look fine from the outside. And it really was an act of love to do it for myself. It was something that I felt that I'd never gotten to have that really was a treat to myself. And I haven't had a day of regret that I did it.
And, you know, I think, ladies, that's all great points, but I think what we're seeing in society isn't necessarily the individuals that are doing it for them, you know, for
exactly.
health reasons. It's not because you're trying to be someone else. But what we're seeing so much, and especially I think in our younger the younger set, I think as we've gotten older, I know the stars that I really admire because they've chosen to age gracefully and beautifully is Jamie Lee Curtis and Diane Keaton. Neither one of them have surgically done anything. Jamie Lee Curtis is as gray as you're going to get gray, but they move in the grace and beauty of who they are instead of trying to be, you know, the 18, 19-year-old pop star that's out there today. And I think what's happening with our youth, and I'm going to say 25 and under, actually I'm going to say 30 and under, you know, because those of us in our 40s, 50s and up, we've moved through life. You know, do I want to repeat my, you know, younger days? No, I'm good. I'm really happy with where I'm at in my mid-40s here. But, you know, the key is the obsession. And that's what we're trying to expose today, and actually the 6 weeks, is this obsession with I have to look like somebody else. And I think that all stems down to, and both of you have said it, it's that inner person, whether we've been hurt, you know, abused, you know, abandoned. I mean, we can go on and on to the pain that's caused to human. But how can we address someone that is still caught up in, whether it's stuff like anorexia, bulimia. I had a friend of mine that went through, what is that, liposuction?
Mm-hmm.
But she had to keep going through it again and again and again because she was trying to create this perfect, you know, she wanted to have the body like Janet Jackson at the time Janet was hot. And that's what she was pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's caused her today, as she's turned into her 30s and late 30s, is a lot of physical problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But these kids today and I don't know about you guys, ladies, as you've looked, and I don't know if you have kids, but...
I have a 16-year-old daughter.
Okay. Now, is your 16-year-old daughter built and behaving the same way that you did when you were 16?
No, thank goodness, actually.
Well, that's an unusual response.
I'm the one who had all the self-hate and eating disorders, and she is thankfully very clear of that and doing very well for herself.
Well, and I think that's part of it, too, is she knows what you went through.
She knows it, and she sees it all around her. And she looks, you know, having me as a mom is probably helpful in that she is able to let out whatever emotions are there, talk them through, get support, and she knows that she's unconditionally loved. You know, if all of us knew that, we wouldn't really be looking around for that kind of evidence by having to prove ourselves.
Right. And that I do have to agree, and especially with the youth of today, is that if the parents spent half as much time with their kids as they did on everything else, we probably wouldn't have what's going on out there today. I mean, I'm looking at kids in our school districts out here that have went through having their lips enlarged, having their breasts enlarged, all because they're trying to be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of falling in love with who you are internally. Because each one of us are incredible, beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
We just, most of the time, have been so suppressed and haven't been able to bring it to the surface.
Yeah.
You know, they say, don't judge the book by the cover. And I have to say yes to that.
Huh.
You know, and I've made the same mistake on people, you know, based on external behavior, the way they presented themselves to us, you know, either they dressed very inappropriately or something at an event. But deep inside, that person is hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people we want to start reaching today. And how would you share with someone that maybe, I mean, I know we talked about doing some of the surgeries, and I mean, I color my hair, but the reason I color my hair, ladies, I have 3 neons that happen in my head. If my hair went salt and pepper gray, I'd leave it alone.
What do you have?
It's neon lights. You know, you look in the rearview mirror, and I have these 2 little sideburn areas that are flashing gray.
Uh-huh.
And then one right in the center of the forehead. And
uh-huh.
The rest is the dark color. And I'm like,
I actually was at a beauty salon, and this woman was having gray foiled into her hair instead of blonde. I say it's a choice. You can have silver highlights or gold highlights. Everyone seems to go blonde, and I thought, what's wrong with silver or platinum? Because when mine started to come, it was at the temples. I thought, oh, my God, I look like the Bride of Frankenstein. All I have to do is rat it up real high, and it'd have these white streaks going up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
I was fortunate enough to go gray at 16. So I got to deal with it early on.
I had a cousin that went completely white very, very early.
Uh-huh.
So,
but even when you say, you know, Robin, when I hear you say, well, the reason I do it is, you know, and then you have your reason.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask anybody the reason they do any of the things, they'll give the reason. And, but really underneath the reason you gave is that you feel, what I'm hearing is you feel more loving towards yourself by doing this. This is an act of love for yourself.
Yeah, because I just sit there and laugh. You know, you look in the rear view, and it's like, I say neon lights because that's what it reminds me of.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful silver, absolutely beautiful.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, why aren't you scattered?
Uh-huh.
Why are you just growing there?
Uh-huh.
You know, but if, like I said, and I went and got my hair cut this week because I finally decided, you know, I've cut it enough times, time to let the right person do it. Of course, they all laugh at me every time I go in, and I've been the artist. But... you know, it was like, if I could be salt and pepper gray, I'd let it go because I think it's beautiful on women.
But listen to that, even, Ron. If I could be, isn't that what the girls that we're trying, or the young women that we're talking about addressing here, isn't that what they're saying too? They just fill in the blank differently.
Mm.
If I could just be blank, then I would be happy.
And you could. I mean, the woman I saw was a young-looking woman who was starting to get white streaks, and so she had more added to be, she was really kind of artsy and dramatic, mm-hmm. but she was having her hairdresser help her go gray more gracefully or accelerating the process. I mean, there's all kinds of options here. It's just that we've got a cultural norm that we're all enculturated, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I think the important thing to really pay attention to is the if this, then I would be happy. And it isn't necessarily untrue. I mean, if you're coloring your hair, for instance, Robin, and it does make you happier, okay, then you shouldn't be judged for that. And if breast reduction made me happy, which it did, then I shouldn't be judged for it. What we're really looking at here, I think, is not what we do or judging anybody by what they do, whether it's, you know, fuller lips or whatever it is they're doing, but what is behind it and what's running the show.
Right.
And what we want, what I think all of us are about, I don't think any of us would be sharing together today if what we didn't want was for people to feel more peace and self-love. That's really what we all want for people. And we know that it doesn't come just from the outside. And in fact, it needs to be an inside job. And if it's an inside job, then we will do whatever we do on the outside to mirror that. And doing could be anything from nothing to coloring our hair to whatever that is. So I think it's really important not to be, to me, it's not about saying stop doing whatever it is you thought about doing, but stop hating yourself. And if you're hating yourself, get help to find a way back to love.
And I think that's exactly what we're exposing in The False Perfect, is not so much the fact that people do this stuff, it's why.
Right.
You know, why are they doing it? Because what we know for a fact is that if we don't deal with our internal issues, whatever's going on in our mind, in our heart, we will never move forward. Because I can mask it all I want to, but if I wasn't okay with who I am and content with who I am, doesn't matter what color I do my hair. It won't matter.
Right. Because then you'll just start focusing on another part of your, you know, body or whatever. If you're not happy with yourself, if you're hating yourself from within, and I don't mean you, Robin, personally, if one is hating oneself, then we just start looking at ourselves as we start picking ourselves apart. And no matter what we do, it's never good enough.
And that's our key. The one, you know, for all of our listeners, you guys know that, you know, it's funny. Every show we've done for about 2.5 years, it's been not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Has been pretty much a common thread that people have ran through the shows. What I want to do is, just so anybody listening to the show picked it up in the second half here, we are talking with Jane Strauss and Rebecca Cooper in our second episode of our series, The False Perfect, that runs for 6 weeks. If you're interested in asking either of our guests a question, you can feel free to call in at 646-727-2918 and press 1 on your phone, and that will be flagged to release your mic. If you're in the chat room, please, if you have a question for them, type it in, and I will gladly ask our guests those questions. So we're going to jump right back in. We're on our last 25 minutes here, and I have a question that I want to ask each of you ladies to give to our listeners here. And the question I want to ask, and you can, whoever wants to jump in first, is if somebody is struggling with these inner issues, they don't feel like they're enough, and they're doing all this stuff because they, if I do this, then I'll be enough. What would you tell someone to help move them into a more positive state of starting to love who they are with all of the, without all the external changes to them?
Do you want to start, Rebecca?
Sure. When the movie The Secret came out and all the folks were on Oprah and everyone is starting to get the idea, change your thinking, change your life. But then people in Oprah's audience raised their hand and said, but how do you change your thinking? I built this little tool, but let me tell you how I started, and you can do it yourself. I just took 3x5 cards and made cards for myself. After the big crash, I couldn't get to sleep at night. I was heartbroken. I was afraid. And I just started writing things on 3x5 cards and going through them at night until I could go to sleep. And I would offer, from my own experience, you've got to change the way you're thinking. And a useful way to do that is not just through affirmations, but you have to find the hidden equations. What is in, it's usually in your subconscious. So you can affirm you're beautiful all day long. And if inside you're feeling, oh, I want to lose 20 pounds, or I wish I were young again, or something else, the affirmation cannot take hold. So you've got to get rid of it. So what I tried to do with the flip cards was put that subconscious thought on the gray side. And when I work with people, I just say, look at the gray side, feel where you feel it in your body. Look at the color side. Now you get to choose. And the very act of choosing ease over struggle, or natural beauty over vanity, or confidence over unworthiness, that act of choosing helps to form the neural networks in your mind. Because if you can't get to the ferret out the negativity that's been put there since childhood, it's a challenge. So I tried to make something fun, and I'll say, do it on 3x5 cards yourself if that's what works for you. Anyway, to me, it's changed your thinking. I looked outside of myself for a long time, and it was the way my brain was wired that was causing my suffering.
I think everybody should have those cards, Rebecca. They sound really great, really, that you've thought about them, like body, mind, spirit, even with the color idea. I really like that. So I think that's great for everybody. You know, one of the things, if I can just add something here, is that a lot of times when I'm working with my clients, they also find it difficult to simply change their mind, even using an affirmation, even one that's targeted very particularly for them. And so the other thing I always try to remind people is it's just as workable to change a behavior and let your mind follow, let your mind catch up. So if you don't feel beautiful, what we tend to do when we don't feel pretty, let's say, is we tend to put on clothes that reinforce that we don't feel pretty. We tend to wear our hair in a way that doesn't feel pretty. So we end up walking out the door having what we call a bad hair day. And then, of course, the world mirrors back to us how we're feeling. We either are invisible to people or nobody compliments us. And so we just get that same thing reinforced. So if one of the things someone wants to do is feel their prettiness rather than just trying to affirm in words that they're pretty, what I would ask them to do is change a behavior that now reinforces that they're not pretty. So it might mean getting a new haircut. It might mean putting on a scarf. It might mean, I mean, we're talking about small things. It might be changing their lip gloss. Whatever that is that really makes them go, oh, I feel prettier. Because what happens is it changes their aura. And they walk out that day, and it isn't because of the lip gloss or the scarf that now people may be smiling at them or acknowledging them. It's because their aura is different. But what happens is they now get a different kind of reinforcement. It's a reinforcement for what they wish to believe instead of what they have believed. And now they have left Groundhog Day. It's now the day after. And that's a real opportunity for people to heal, allowing other people to help them heal through just changing a behavior.
I think that's great, great idea. Any little thing that lifts your spirit.
Yes. And lets other people
vibration.
Yes, and lets other people help lift your spirit too. So much of, I think, what we do in our work with people is we tend to put everything on people's shoulders, that it's all about the inner work that you do. You have to love yourself. And of course we need to do that inner work, but we don't have to do it alone. Everybody's here to help us, just as we're here to help everybody. And we can all lift that boat together. And, you know, we're learning this in our country and, in fact, worldwide right now, that our thoughts are so powerful that either we can sink our mutual ship or we can lift it up together. And it's really the same way on every level. So if we need to feel more beautiful, we're allowed to ask for that support and help in the world. And we're allowed to, we can start the process ourselves, and then we can just pray or ask the universe, whatever that is for someone, to say, and now, you know, I'm willing to receive a smile or a compliment today to help me with this, and to not shame ourselves for wanting that.
Receiving,
that's great points from both of you, because I agree that, excuse me, that, you know, our thinking, you know, we've got to think better about ourselves.
Yeah.
We are probably the harshest critics of who we are.
Exactly.
You know, it's like nothing we can do is right in our own minds. And we've got to change the way we think. We've got to change the way we feel about ourselves. And I love the fact, I agree, if you're having a crappy day, put on a beautiful dress and walk out the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that, you know, and I agree, a little makeup. If you don't wear the makeup, put it on that morning. Because there's days that I feel like crap, and I don't want to leave here.
Right.
It's like, I don't want to deal with this garbage in this world, and I'm just done, and I'm whining. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I feel bad today. I just don't feel well. My body, myself, I'm just not on mark. But yet, I'll get up, do my hair, put on makeup, make sure I dress, you know, business casual, not the sweatpants, you know, and step out, and it's amazing what it does to the mind.
Right.
Because you feel right. Good.
Right. And it allows other people in. There's a message we give people when we don't feel good about ourselves. The vibe is pretty strong to stay away, even if what we really need the most is for someone to come in close.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will misunderstand the message and stay away when we need them most. So sometimes if we give them a little bit of help, like a smile towards them or something in our aura that lets them know they can come in, and that's really for our own good.
Robin,
and that's really key.
Go ahead, sorry. I was just going to say that I think Robin's really hitting a big one, especially for women, which is being able to receive. Harville Hendrix, I think, wrote a book about receiving love later on that. And so I took the quiz in the back of the book, and I could give at, let's say, 88, and I could receive at about 3 out of 100. And it was like women are kind of wired to be givers. They're nurturing. They're loving. But there's an essay in the book called Circle of Thanks, Robin, that you may have remembered, that if you can't let love in, if someone gives you a compliment and you deflect it or push it away, then you get empty after a while. You've got to be able to receive love and praise and hugs and goodness, or you get empty. And one of the problems, one of the big blocks for women is, well, thank you. You know, I did my best to make that dinner, and everyone says, it's really great. And you said, oh, yeah, but I kind of burned the gravy or something. You dismiss it. You put it down. You say, this wasn't perfect, therefore I cannot accept your compliment. You know, great dress on you. This old thing? Oh, it's not perfect. Therefore, I cannot accept your love or your compliments. We're so far out of grace when we use perfection as the ruler by which we'll allow anyone to give us anything.
And that's true. And I think that's one of the hardest things, you know, whether it's, you know, as women, it's very easy to give, give, give. Very easy.
Way easier than receiving.
You know, it's almost like you feel guilty for receiving.
Isn't that sad?
And it's like, why? Why are we so wired that we can't just say, and you know, one of the things I learned, ladies, is that as these compliments or these praises or whatever you want to call it come your way, whether you want to believe it or not for the moment, you just say thank you, receive it, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And not discredit yourself.
You know, Robin, you're asking, why do we do this? I don't know if either of you are familiar with the book, The Female Brain.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's an excellent book. It's written by a woman doctor who talks about the different times in a woman's life and what hormones her brain is bathed in.
Oh, we're in trouble.
We are. And how impactful that really is, but how you know, we really, in terms of survival of our species, it makes some sense. So, you know, we are designed to be very giving because that's how we nurture our young. Whether we have young or not, it doesn't matter, but that's what the hormones that our brains are bathed in during childbearing years. And it's probably no accident that here we are, women in our 40s and older, who are trying to talk to the younger generation about essentially paying more attention to themselves and being kinder to themselves and knowing that they're enough. But this comes from the fact, partly, that our brains are no longer being brainwashed, literally, with hormones that say, give, 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 and be selfless. And so I think that the message, you know, and so what happens is when we're in the 20s and 30s and childbearing years and we're having children, we're modeling that selflessness to our children. And then as we develop, they already have had that model of woman as selfless. And so it's really good for us, I think, to wake up to an awareness of this so that we can consciously balance the hormonal, that brainwashing that's hormonal, with what really our own individual purposes in life. You know, to really start young with looking at what's my purpose? Who am I as a being? What is it that I want? To start to ask selfish questions much earlier on to counter that. And it's one of the things I support my 16-year-old daughter doing because she's very generous and very loving and kind and considerate. And then I'll just turn it around on her and say, and what do you want? And help her find her voice now and her inner truth.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. I think you hit it right on the head there because it's about the balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if we're looking at a container and this container is always giving and giving and giving, at some point that container is going to get empty if it's not receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to find that balance because I think that's we're missing the balance because we're such a microwave society. We want everything now that we're short. It's almost like the wheels. I look at it as like a, you know, the mechanical wheels that have those little grooves in it and they kind of move together systematically. We're off balance on a couple of those grooves and it's messing up everything.
I think it's the masculine and feminine, the yin and yang. Mm. All men have a feminine side, all women have a masculine side. And coming up through corporate America in the last few decades, I was learning how to act like a man because the men made the money. You know, we wore little bow ties at our necks and put on suits by Evan Pacone or whomever. And we activated the masculine. And so we made money. You know, I had a corner office. I was a vice president. But the cost, the receptive side of both men and women is feminine. We squinched off the feminine, and that's why there's a lot of talk about, you know, Da Vinci Code and the divine feminine coming in. It's for men and women. It's the receptive side. It's not the warlord side. Let's go slash and burn. And so that's where I believe we're out of balance, is balancing the masculine and feminine energies, receptive as well as directive. That you know, I just saw Dolly Parton, you know, act like a woman, think like a man. Jay Leno said he got the same advice from his mother. You know, you're out in the business world, take care of business, stand up for yourself, but don't sacrifice the receptive, feminine, softer, compassionate principles. And when those come into balance, then you're being authentic.
And I think that's the key we're missing in society today, and I think you hit the word right on the head, is becoming authentic. Be who you are today. Love who you are. Embrace it. Bring it to the surface and celebrate it. And then work on the issues in your life you want to work on. But ladies, we're at our last 9 minutes here. So what I want to do is I want to ask each of you to give our listeners one nugget they can take home with them today that's going to inspire them, that'll move them forward into loving who they are today, and then also they need to know how to find you. So if you'd like to jump in, Jane, you want to go first?
Okay, sure. It's like one nugget always, my heart starts to race. I think, oh my God, one nugget. The one that came to me may not be completely relevant to this, but I'm going to say it anyway, and it's the idea of sunk cost theory. And sunk cost theory says that there's no sense throwing out good money or good energy or good love after bad. So if you're finding yourself in a situation doing something to yourself that isn't working, or beating up on yourself, or being hard on yourself, or having yet another diet that you've done and feel like a failure at, whatever that is, let it go now, because throwing more energy, whether it's more guilt, more shame, whatever that is at it, if throwing that at it is a waste. And that's the theory of sunk cost. It's to say you've already done enough, let it go, and start fresh.
Beautiful stuff. And how can they find you, Jane, and your book, Enough is Enough?
Well, probably if they just Google Enough is Enough on or go to Amazon and just type it in, they can find it. Also, my website is askjanenow.com. They can find it on there, and they can find lots of good things on there. A lot of my writing is on there, and I have podcasts from my radio show, the Ask Jane Show. So I'm happy to hear from folks.
Awesome. Great stuff. And I do really recommend, as we're sharing both of our guests' information today, that our listeners spend some time on their websites and pick up their books. I brought them on the show because there is validity to what they're sharing with the issues we're addressing in our society today. And I really recommend both of their materials for you to move forward in your life today. And Rebecca, one idea or one nugget to share with our listeners today?
That your feelings will guide you. That when you ask yourself anything, whether it's to buy something, to go somewhere, to be with someone, tune into what it feels like. Does the feeling create more freedom or less? I should go to that party. What does it feel like? Does it? And the feeling that you're looking for is either relief or freedom. And that feeling will tell you whether you're aligning with your soul or your ego and a bunch of old programming. So use your feelings as your guide. Which feels better, yes or no? And it's real simple. You will get an answer, and the more you practice that, the more aware you become. You've got a built-in guidance system. Don't let your mind answer the question. Let your feelings answer the question.
Awesome stuff. And Rebecca, how can they get a hold of you, your book, your flip cards?
The website is Flip Your Thinking. That's F as in Frank, F-L-I-P, yourthinking.com. And everything's on there, and you can reach me through there. I also have a blog you can subscribe to through, you know, all the usual media. And my Twitter handle is ThinkFlip. If you just want to drop me a note, I'd love to hear about it, because I think the more we change our personal vibrations and energy in a positive fashion, the ripple effects will be huge. Because it's the only thing you have control over is yourself.
And that's really cool. And then the last book we have here is from Melissa Cobb, The Forgotten Body, A Way of Knowing and Understanding Self. Fantastic book and journey into your mind and your soul. And what I'm going to do for everyone out there, these are incredible, incredible tools to empower your life. If they were not incredible, they wouldn't be on the show. And you guys know that. So what I'm going to do for you is that the first four that email me in a story along the lines of what we've been talking about, I will send you one of their products as a thank you gift for responding back. So I want to hear your stories. You can email me at robin@robinhardy.net. Send me your story of what you've gone through in your life, and even how, if something that Jane or Rebecca said today has went, wow, it was your aha light bulb moment, then I want you to share that. And like I said, the first four that I receive an email from this week, I will send you their books. Actually, with Rebecca, you'll either get a book or you get the flip cards if I want to let them go. I'm sorry. You know,
or you can look on the website to see where they're sold in your area or order them right directly from us, either way.
Yeah, and it's just hard because everybody sends me such great stuff that, you know, it's hard for me to let go of it, but my job is to empower you, and so I want to share this information with you. So I've got four of them, so email me as we're wrapping up our last couple minutes here. Next week, join me again, 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Empowering You Radio and Empowered Journey as we move into session number 3. And our guest, just to give you a heads up, is going to be Eva Ritvo, and hopefully I'm saying her name right. She is a South Beach psychiatrist that wrote the book, The Beauty Prescription, the complete formula for looking and feeling beautiful, again, bringing the exterior to the surface to empower you. And another exciting guest, we always have such good guests on the show, but Jennifer Strickland is going to be on the show. She runs a ministry out of Arrowhead Springs, California. She wrote the book, Girl Perfect. And she is an ex-runway model for Armani, and she's going to tell you the story and the truth behind being a runway model. Her story is amazing. And I sat here and actually cried when I saw what she went through. So it's all about exposing what looks so good on the outside may not be so good on the inside. And so my challenge to you today is that you really consider finding that beauty, that amazing inside of you that we all have. And both of our guests today, Rebecca Cooper and Jane Strauss, brought that to you. They've got incredible stories. Jane going through her surgery, and I know her comment to me is that she had to deal with beauty while she had staples in her head looking like Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that's something that she can't cover up and can't hide as she's moving through it. And yet, the incredible story behind that is, look where she's at today. She didn't get caught up in the lies, the deceit, the false stuff out there. Focus on who she was inside beautifully and move forward. Rebecca's story, the same thing. We've all gone through a time of loss, especially coming through 2008. We were all glad to see it end. And some of us are still dealing with the repercussions of what happened to us. However, we do not own them. They are not us, and we can move through them. So I encourage you and challenge you today, again, pick up the books. Jane Strauss, Enough is Enough, Stop Enduring and Start Living Your Extraordinary Life, and Rebecca Cooper, Beckoning When Happiness Calls, as well as Flip Your Thinking Flip Cards, great little key ring you can carry with you in your car, so when you're whining and griping wherever you're at, pull them out and read them, because they will change your life. But do something today, guys, to move forward, change your life, and empower yourself. Because if you don't, nobody can. You are the basis for change, and you have to change who you are before anything in your life changes. So with that, I hope to see you guys next week on Empowering You Radio and Empower Journey as we move into session 3 of The False Perfect. And we've had a fabulous time with our guests. I want to thank you both, Rebecca and Jane, for stopping by and chatting with our listeners and sharing your heart. And I just hope you guys can continue touching lives like you've done here today.
Thank you so much, Robin. Thanks for the opportunity for providing this forum.
Thanks,
Robin.
Well,
and it's important. I think that we all share and encourage each other. You guys are fabulous. I love you guys for what you're doing. And we'll stay in contact, but keep changing lives. You guys are amazing with your stories and what you're moving through. So thank you for coming out. And everybody have an empowered day and do something positive. Get up off that sofa and put down that remote and let's change your life today. Have a great day, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.